is a tremendous gospel that we are reflecting on today. And I'd just like to spend a couple of minutes, because we're going to celebrate a confirmation just at the end of this today, a wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit for Sean, but also for all of us. And so today's a lucky day for you. We're going to get that new gift of the Spirit. I'd like to just think about for a moment those readings. Elijah the prophet, if you can believe it or not, sat by a tree, a gum tree. And he said to himself today, I don't want to live. I don't know if any of you have ever gotten to that place in your life where you are so despondent, emptied, fearful, struggling, that you say to yourself, just take me. And so our God sent to Elijah some food and some drink, and he refused it. He didn't want to drink. He didn't want to eat. He wanted to die. And the reason was the queen of that land, Jezebel, was in fact angry and upset because somehow Elijah had misspoke and said things that might denigrate their great empire. And so he knew that his life, no matter what it would be a difficult life at best. And so after the second return of that angel, he took the food and the drink, and he went up on this great journey of 40 days to Mount Horeb. And it was there, not in the thunder, not in the lightning, not in the earthquake, not in the great manifestations of nature, did he find the consoling words of peace. He found that consolation in a tiny whisper, the silence, the small little wind. And it was there that somehow Elijah found enough energy, enough strength, enough inner peace to continue his great work, his great ministry. And he returned from Mount Horeb and went back to his people, not fearless, but certainly less afraid, strengthened by that word, that drink, that food. Our Lord Jesus Christ is really pretty much in the same situation. What's not said in that gospel today is that his best mentor and friend had just been killed. John the Baptist was in fact the leader. Christ was the disciple of John for many, many, many months. He was following and teaching in his footsteps. He was his cousin, but was connected with him in ministry. And John had just been killed by Herod. And so there is this fear. What will happen to me? There is this angst about a dear friend whose life was just taken. And there was that pending feeling that somehow, some way, he was creating a displeasure with those who were in authority. And he knew that there was a call. He knew that his call was to go out and to feed the hungry, to forgive prostitutes, to take people who were separated, the lepers of that time, the people who were the worst off. And he knew that that was now his call. And he knew that because of that, someday his life would be taken. So if you can imagine the darkness of Elijah and the darkness of Jesus Christ, and yet what did he do? Christ, like Elijah, did not find the voice of his God in thunder or lightning or earthquakes or fire. He found the voice of God in the silence, the scriptures say. He took time away. And even after having fed the 5,000, having gone to a place for quiet to restore his peace of mind and to regain some kind of confidence, even when he saw his friends out on that boat, and there was a huge storm. If any of you have ever been to Galilee, it's an extraordinary, beautiful sea. And when the winds come down off those mountains, you can imagine the storm and the turmoil and the tumult of that. Our Lord saw that. But the scriptures say he waited until the fourth watch. Now, none of you know the fourth watch, but your pastor does. It's between 3 and 6 in the morning, my favorite hour, 4:30 a.m., right in the middle of that fourth watch. He waits, having steeled himself, having taken some time for quiet and prayer, and then walks down and walks on the water. And the disciples are shocked because they see the Lord. And somehow in their fear, in their terrible fear that they were going to be tossed out of that boat and drown, they yell out at this Christ, "Save us!" Now, I know that the ordinary explanation of that is, that Peter jumped out of the boat and he had his eyes fixed on Jesus, and as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he also walked in the water. But as soon as he noticed the storm and the wind and the rain and whatever else was there, when he took his eyes off it, he sunk. And so the thought is, keep your eye on Christ, and if you don't, you're going to sink. But I have a little different take on it today. Just try this on for size. You may disagree, and please do. Maybe not, but think about it. What I think happened is that the disciples, who am I to say, but just a thought. The disciples stayed in the boat. They didn't risk anything. I mean, the risk was that they were going to drown, but they stayed inside. But Peter was the one who I don't think just foolishly or impetuously jumped out when Jesus said to come because somehow he wanted to say, look at me, or because he wanted to, I don't know what, some impetuous moment. I actually think Peter wasn't looking to be saved. I think Peter was looking to do it like Christ. He wanted to be like the Savior. He wanted to walk on water. He wanted to be that healer. He wanted to be like this person who was now beginning to see that his call was for those who have so far less. And so, yes, with great impetuosity, but with what I think is courage, he got out of that boat. He was the only one. The others stayed inside. He got out of the boat. The courageous act. But my brothers and sisters, like all of us, anyone who sticks their neck out, anyone who wants to make a little difference in this world, small or as large as it is, anyone that wants to make some little difference, even though we say yes to that, there will always, always, always be that moment of fear. I might fail. People may not like me. People talk about me. Some of them remember a mistake I made. There will be something that will overwhelm us, even though we are in the process of drawing close to our Lord and Savior, trying to make some little small difference in this world, trying to do something beyond our comfort. And in that moment, in that human experience, having made the act of courage, coming to that dark moment, that's the time, I think, we need the hand of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's the only way, my brothers and sisters, ultimately and finally. Yes, it's our courage, and yes, it's our dream, and yes, it's our hope. But somehow, some way, in the midst of all of that, no one can give it to us, and no one can take it away from us. No one. He reaches into our lives and steadies us. encourages us, and helps us to persevere, to go forward. Michelangelo, who I have no idea, somewhere along the line I got this from him, I think, and I found it the other day. He says this, and this is my last thought because we want to confirm this good man. The danger, he said, in life is not to aim too high and miss it. Not to aim too high and miss it. The danger is to aim too low and reach it. I don't know if that makes sense to you. But our call with Peter today is courage. And yes, be prepared. There is darkness. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there are sleepless nights. Promise you that. Sleepless nights. But you know what I think? On the way to finally reaching out and holding on with all our might to that hand, I say, what a way to drown. Amen.